Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hi there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You might be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I am so glad you're here. In today's bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. This month of February is full of interviews, and you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources we mention, and any of the free downloads that I love to share. It's also the best place to go to connect with the person we are talking to in this episode and all of our guests from February. It's not too late to reboot your weekly schedule. Head over to classtechtips.com/planner as you listen to today's episode to download my free planner pages, including a spot for you to set some goals and keep track of your ed tech journey this year. It's totally free, and if you're multitasking, you can do it as you listen to this episode. Just go to classtechtips.com/planner. This week's episode is titled An Insider Look at Microsoft's Education Resources with Dr. Natasha Rachel. I'm very excited to have Natasha on the podcast today. We met a few years ago during our travels to conferences, and she is one of the co-authors of the book, The Microsoft Infused Classroom. Now, if you've heard of this book before, it might be because you have one on your bookshelf like I do, or it might be because I had Holly Clark and Tanya Avrith on the podcast last spring when the book first hit shelves. And in this episode, Natasha shares lots of tips and plenty of things you might not know about all that Microsoft Education has to offer. So let's dive into our conversation. You're going to hear lots of tips and tricks and ideas and some things that might be totally new to you or things that you might just want to revisit and dive into a little bit deeper. No, I'm so excited that you are here on the podcast today. And I know I shared with listeners a little bit about you and your work, but I'm hoping you can kick us off by talking about your role in education and maybe sharing a little bit about what your day-to-day looks like.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to get to talk to you. I'm Natasha Rachel. I'm a digital learning specialist for Atlanta Public Schools, working smack dab in the middle of downtown Atlanta, obviously in the midst of COVID, like everyone else. We're all working from home right now. But typically day to day, every day looks different. I am one of four digital learning specialists. We have four people that do what I do, one for each content area. So I'm the one that is specified to the content of science. So I do have a science background, former high school science teacher. And so we are central office based. We work directly with our content specialist in Atlanta Public Schools. And so primarily our job is to make sure technology is infused into our content curriculum. But besides that, we have tons and tons of extra projects that we work with. For example, Google falls under my kind of umbrella. Felisa, who I also work with, who is one of the co-authors of the book, she's primarily Microsoft, and then I kind of step in and assist as well. But we all have different projects that we work with. I also work over with our Tablet to Read program with another one of our colleagues. And so it's just projects galore that roll out to our district in regard to all of our little technology initiatives, and we all just kind of jump in and pitch in where needed. So lots of good stuff.
That's wonderful. And I know that so many folks, even just as a classroom teacher, right, feeling like I was wearing so many different hats and having to dive in and support folks in different ways. And just now, you know, as we're talking today, we've had the chance to be at on-site events together. You know, clearly we're on Zoom chatting today, and talk about different types of technology and things that you're interested and excited about. And I have right here in my office your fantastic book that focuses on Microsoft really as a vehicle for all the things you can do with digital tools. And so I'm curious, you know, I know that you have a Google background and we've chatted about that before too, but have you always been a Microsoft person, or do you find yourself using a lot of different tools with students?
So no, we, our district actually, and I think if you think like back in the day, right, when technology kind of first rolled out back in the day, I think everybody kind of started off Microsoft way, way back in the day. And then in regard to what I do now and just education and my job, I think we all kind of jumped into Microsoft. That was kind of the first thing that we had access to. And then Google for Education rolled out. Mm-hmm. And I think we all kind of jumped ship and moved over into the Google world. It was new and it was sexy. That's what I always like to say. It was new and sexy and colorful and amazing. And then Microsoft just like exploded after that. Mm-hmm. And so in our district, we have access to both. We never got rid of one or the other. Our students and our teachers have access to both. And we always like to say we live and play in both worlds. And I think it's so important that we do that, because we don't know what futures we're preparing our students for. They could leave us and go into a world, or go to college or their career, whatever they decide to do after high school, and live in a world of Microsoft or Google. And so we have to prepare them for both opportunities. And the other part of that is that this, and this is a thing that I preach to teachers all the time, because they just want like, come and teach me the tool, teach me the tool. Mm-hmm. It's never about the tool. All the tool is the vehicle to deliver the content. And I preach that, that like, I will take that to the grave. Like, even when we go to all these ed tech conferences and when we interact with each other, like, I know we're constantly bouncing ideas off of each other. And like, you could tell me, oh, I just tried such and such and it's phenomenal. And we just get this like excitement to go try it right now, but it may not be the tool that's going to fit what I need it to do right now. So I will take that to the grave. It's never about the tool. You have to figure out what it is that you're doing, and then whatever you're doing, choose the tool that best fits your need. That's what I'm trying to say.
And I think that's such a great reminder just about being, you know, the vehicle, right? It helps make whatever it is you want to happen, happen. And I love what you said about, you know, the Microsoft tools, where, you know, I know as a student, as a beginning teacher, right, there was no such thing as Google Classroom. There is no such thing as all the Googly tools. I was using PowerPoint with my students for a long time in a computer lab, which is not, you know, the type of thing we think about so much, right? And then going back to my classroom, which had an overhead projector, right, during all of those times. It's been a while since I've heard that like typewriter or the fire transition in PowerPoint that we probably all can like remember, you know? So it's been here for so long. And just like you said, I've seen some of the same, or I felt some of the same things with Microsoft, where all of a sudden it's kind of Google, Google, Google. Mm-hmm. And now for so many reasons, because of Flipgrid, because of Immersive Reader, all of these wonderful things, I feel like Microsoft and Microsoft for Education is getting a lot more just energy behind it. So I was so excited that you all have the book that focuses on this piece. And, you know, I'm curious, when you're thinking about their offerings for educators, how much things have changed in the past few years, what are some things that people might not know or might not expect about Microsoft tools? I know for me, Immersive Reader was probably top of my list of things like, how did I not know about this when I had some conversations with folks a few years ago? So yeah, I mean, what are some things that you find people are surprised by or just might not expect from Microsoft tools?
Yeah, I think Immersive Reader is at the top of everybody's list. And the thing with Immersive Reader, even though it was created for dyslexic students and students with dysgraphia, when I train on Immersive Reader, I never even bring that up. I might mention it as like a little side thing, because it's such a powerful tool for all users. It's not just for dyslexic and students that live with dysgraphia. It is for everybody. And I love the tools that are built in for our English language learners. Like, there's so much power to it. And a lot of people will, some people may be apprehensive about it just because they don't know what it is or whatnot. But even bringing it down to the elementary level with the picture dictionary, there's just so much power to immersive reader. So that would that is definitely at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. I love that the team at Microsoft is constantly listening. And I think a lot of ed tech companies now, with just the power of social media, and I just think that a lot of ed tech companies are listening, but really Microsoft, I mean, you could tweet them. I mean, I'm thinking about the team at Flipgrid or even Mike Olson. Like, you could tweet them. I mean, I had a question about word prediction the other day, and I just inboxed Mike Olson, and I was like, hey, it's not working for me. What do I do? And he responded back in like 2 minutes, and it was over the Christmas holiday break. Like, they are so accessible and personable. So I love how accessible they are. And one of my favorite tools is Microsoft Sway. And so many people are like, what?
And I think
yes, it's like the hidden gem of the Microsoft world. And so many people don't use it. It's such an easy tool to use. And we were on if you're a Microsoft Innovative Educator expert, we have these monthly calls. And so we were on the call, I believe it was the month before last, and I can't remember which cohort it was, but one of the people in the cohort was talking about these different newsletters that they put out. And I don't know why, I've never thought about this. Mm-hmm. They put out these newsletters for their parents. And one of the things that they incorporate is bringing in videos of people delivering the videos in American Sign Language. And I just thought, wow, like, we always think about people that speak English. We think about our English language learners, but we never think about our American Sign Language students. Right. Like, how powerful is that, that you can bring in videos, embed it in the newsletter, and send it out?
Like, I love that, as ASL support is just huge. And so for people that haven't heard of Sway before, how would you describe it to them? If they haven't scrolled through a Sway or they haven't made one themselves, how would you describe it to someone?
To me, when I talk about Sway, I say it's like a movable PowerPoint. That's the easiest way for me to describe it. You are able to add tiles to your Sway. I don't even know how to properly, I guess there's proper terminology, but a Sway is like a blank canvas that you add tiles to. Here we go, I'm on a roll now. That you add tiles to, and your tiles could be any kind of multimedia that you need. It could be text, it could be videos, it could be a tweet. It could be images. It could be whatever you need to add to it. And what I love about it is that even if you have a PowerPoint that you've already created, you're able to upload that PowerPoint and turn it into a Sway. And then it just scrolls through nice and seamlessly. It just adds a new kind of visual element. And they're so easy to use. And the thing that I love about the ease of use for them is that when you want your students to create something to get their learning out, there's two things that I think we want our students to do. One is to visualize their learning, and the other is to verbalize their learning, or visualize and verbalize even their thinking. And Sway allows them to do just that. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles. Like, you may get a little frustrated that you can't move things exactly where you want them to go. But when your goal is to get students to visualize and verbalize their thinking, it does exactly that. So
I love that comparison to PowerPoint, where, like, I sometimes think of PowerPoint as being horizontal, and we're here talking with our hands here on Zoom, right? Which I'm very guilty of all day long. But right, I think of PowerPoint as almost being that horizontal slide, right? Where just like you and I were moving our hands up and down, where Sway is almost like this scrollable, right? Like this vertical piece of presenting content. So, you know, the tiles, like you mentioned, whether it's an ASL video or some other type of content, and that ability to just share things in a way that's more visual than, say, a PowerPoint, right? And I don't mean to knock PowerPoint by any means, but if you're thinking about
PowerPoint is amazing too.
Right. PowerPoint's come a long way if people have not opened it up recently. But I love Sway for those reasons too. So I'm excited to see that's on your list. Are there any other Sway use cases? You mentioned newsletters you would like to share?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I don't even know if, like, English teachers are still doing, like, the old school book report still, but, like, definitely, like, book reports, portfolios, any kind of project that would involve students, any kind of report. I'm thinking different research projects. Another thing that you could have students do, and this is another powerful piece of Sway, if a student is creating a research project, for example, on, let's just say, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and they don't know where to start, They don't know what information to include. In Sway, you can start from a topic. And I'm so sitting here talking with my hands again. It's the middle button. You can start from a topic and it allows you to just type in. So you could say Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and it will create a template for your student or whoever's using it. It'll create things like it might drop some images in there for you. It will put, maybe it'll say his childhood. It might put some information in there about him as a preacher or about him in the civil rights movement. Different information that you can then go in there and manipulate to be whatever you need it to be for what your use is. And at the end, it also puts all of the citations in there, which is amazing for the research that it pulls. So in that thought too, the teacher could even use it as a presentation tool for their information to the class as well.
Yeah. And I think that's such a great point about the presentation tool piece for a teacher to students, because especially now with folks that may be working in an asynchronous or self-paced model, they may not be doing the kind of live PowerPoint style presentation when you would be in a class together with having kids turn and talk or, you know, look at something together at the same time. I think a Sway really lends itself to that self-paced piece too.
Absolutely. So, you can drop some Flipgrids in there. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of Sway, and I found, just like you mentioned, that a lot of people don't know about it, are not, you know, clicking on that button when they log into their Office 365. And so, yeah, Sway is so powerful. And so for people who maybe are in that Microsoft ecosystem or have thought about revisiting some things, what are some of your go-to or your favorite tips and tricks for Microsoft users?
So we just talked about PowerPoint. PowerPoint, if you have not been in there in a while, you definitely have to get in there. PowerPoint Designer, which every time I show it to people, they're like, what? Mm-hmm. It just like remixes your PowerPoints and creates these visual masterpieces and makes you a graphic designer that like you didn't even know that you were. It's amazing. And it's just a little button at the top in your little ribbon toolbar that you can just click, and it just gives you all these options to create just awesome graphics for your PowerPoints. PowerPoint Live is another one that allows people to personalize their experience as you're presenting. It creates a QR code for your PowerPoint presentation. So if you were presenting to your students either face-to-face or online, it creates a QR code that your students can scan with their device, and then they're able to take that presentation that's now showing up on their device and translate it into the language that they need. They're able to interact with you with different little emojis and all kinds of fun stuff. It's really, really cool, but it just brings your PowerPoint and makes it a little bit more interactive for the end user. Oh, what else? Of course, Immersive Reader. We just talked about that with all of the dictionary feature, the read aloud feature, which is amazing. And some people may not know this too, and this is an easy thing that's in there, but if you haven't clicked around, for your students that are English language learners, once they translate that document, they can then have it read to them in their language. Here's another quick tip. Oh my gosh, Monica, we could talk all day. For your students, especially your students that are in your math classes, my math teachers, here's an awesome tip for you. If you are using Microsoft Forms, I'm totally jumping around now, but I just had this.
If you are using
Microsoft Forms to deliver like math quizzes or math tests or whatever you're using your forms for in your math class, your students can use Immersive Reader in that Microsoft form, and it reads the math problems to them in the math language. So it doesn't just say like one, I'm not a math person. It doesn't just say like 1/3. It literally says 1/3, blah, blah, blah. Like it reads it in the math language. And then if you have students that are English language learners, it reads it in the math language in their language that they need. It is amazing.
That is wild. And that's news to me. You know, that's new to me because I've used Microsoft Forms a little bit. I've definitely used Immersive Reader, but I didn't understand that math component, which is tricky for anyone, right?
Yeah.
especially with the language translation. So that is super cool. I'm glad you brought that up, both the Forms, because I don't know that everyone knows about Microsoft Forms the way they're more familiar with Google Forms, and knowing that there's that math piece too, because that's really been a barrier, I think, for math teachers with choosing and using different digital tools. It's not always, I mean, that's a whole nother level of support in a
meeting. It is, yeah.
You just described, but even just having the characters and having it ready for everyone. So that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a whole math in Microsoft Forms when you go in there, when you click on quiz, there's a whole math kind of section that opens up with all of those math characters. So mm-hmm. I'm not a math person, but like all those little squiggly line things that you used to see in like trigonometry and algebra and those classes that we took back in the day, all those little characters are in there that you can just click and add to your math formulas. So amazing, amazing stuff there for you.
That's
and
huge.
Also, yes, the Microsoft Educator Community for Professional Development. If y'all are not in there using all that free PL that's in there for you, mm-hmm. you are missing out. Yeah, y'all need to hop in there.
Yeah, there's so much stuff there. And I've done some partnership posts with them in the past. And one of my favorites to dive into was the Hacking STEM resources from Microsoft, which I'm just like, how is this all here? Like, look at all this, these pieces, you know, just the idea of being able to, you know, hook something up to an Excel spreadsheet and have all your data populate in real time seems like something out of a Star Trek, you know, type of thing, right? Just so cool to think that that's doable in classroom settings. And, you know, it's just not an everyday experience for me. So whenever I see those things, I'm blown away and want to tell everyone about it too. So, you know, I'm curious because, you know, you're in a school that is using Microsoft and that is using Google tools. And I'm mm-hmm. sure people reach out to you, whether on your Instagram, I know I follow along on your Instagram or in other social spaces. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure you hear from people that are like, oh no, we just switched to Microsoft, or mm-hmm. oh no, like this is a new thing. What am I supposed to do here? And so I'm wondering if you have kind of something you tell people when they come to you and they say like, is this going to be okay? You know, like we just found out we're a Microsoft school. What are some things you might tell them that's really going to be that value add or like the best thing about making that switch?
Yeah. I think the one thing that I tell everybody is, first of all, take a deep breath mm-hmm. because again, it's never about the tool, right? Like just take a breath. And I always give them the comparisons, like whatever you could do in Google, you can do mm-hmm. in Microsoft and vice versa. Like take a breath. It's going to be okay. The other thing that I always share too, is that you always, if I were you, every morning when you go to your computer, you go to your classroom, wherever it is that you're going to start your day, log into Office 365. Mm-hmm. That is your hub. That's your one-stop shop. That's where you need to start. That's where you're going to have access to your email, your calendar, and all of your tools. Everything that you need, it's right there at your fingertips. And really, I would just keep that open all day. I know a lot of us like to just go directly to like mm-hmm. Sway.com or go to PowerPoint or go to here based on what we need. But if you just keep your Office 365 hub is what I'm going to call it. Just keep that mm-hmm. open all day. Everything is right there at your fingertips. So
I think that's a really great tip because, you know, I know from a work perspective, I'm primarily in Google areas, right? I've got my mm-hmm. Gmail, I've got things in Google Docs and Sheets and all that, but you know, I do some work with ASCD, who's my publisher. Mm-hmm. And so with them, I'm in that Office 365 environment. And I think that's mm-hmm. just been a huge thing for me to say, like, I need to go to this one place because I'm definitely guilty of typing in Sway or of like, you know, or going straight to Forms and I'm showing it off for people. And I think it would probably be a useful just behavior switch for myself as I'm hearing you say this, to get into that pattern of going through the hub, right? Check out this way, go through that way. So I think that's a great tip for people who are just, you know, diving in or making a switch, because there's definitely some transferable skills for us as educators and for students, right? If you are kind of bouncing around between different spaces.
Yeah.
And so your book is amazing and full
Thank
of
you.
So many great resources. I'm hoping you can share a little bit with us before we wrap up today. You know, where did the idea come from for this? You know, what was the process like? I know it was a collaborative creation, so I'd love to hear a little bit from that kind of behind the scenes or origin story.
Yeah. So I know you had Holly and Tanya on a couple of weeks ago or a month or so ago. But so Holly and Tanya have the Google Infused Classroom, which is like an amazing resource that has like been number one bestseller on the book list forever. And so I know that I know Holly got more involved in kind of the Microsoft world. And she just had this idea like, hey, what if we did this for Microsoft? And so she and Tanya and myself, Felisa and Joe and Kristen Merrill just all kind of came together. Holly, where did I see Holly when we kind of talked about it? We were at ISTE in, was it San Antonio? I don't even remember which ISTE it was. I think it was San Antonio. I might be wrong.
I mix them all up. All the time, I know.
But we were there with her and we were at a Microsoft event and we just kind of talked. She was like, hey, what do y'all think about, you know, this idea? And we were like, heck yeah, like this is needed. There's nothing out there like this. And so that was kind of like the seed planted and it just kind of blew up from there. It was a lot of collaboration, of course, because we're all in different areas of the country. It was meeting with different time zones, of course, because of where we're all located. I mean, we have been driving in cars on hotspots, you know, editing, and it's actually been a really amazing, amazing process just to see it all come together. And we're just super excited and proud of what it is. So been awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's such a fun process to go through, especially, you know, with a group like that and all wonderful people. And so really appreciate you kind of giving us a little bit of a behind the scenes there. And all of your tips today, Natasha, were just so on point and so doable. And I know will be so useful for listeners. And like I mentioned, I follow along with your work. And where can listeners connect with you? I'll make sure to link to everything, but I'd love for you to share that with them, the best place to go to follow along with your work.
So the best place is probably on Twitter. I'm APSIT Natasha on Twitter. And everyone's like, what is the APSIT before everybody's name? It's Atlanta Public Schools Instructional Technology. So we all have that before like our name. So APSIT Natasha on Twitter. And then on Instagram, I'm Natasha B. Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L-L. And I post a little bit of educational stuff there. It's more like if you want to get to know me, like from a personal level, but yeah, so that's my Instagram. And then my website is www.natasharachel.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for carving out time to chat today. I really appreciate having you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's so good to see you.
It was so wonderful having Natasha on the podcast, and let's finish up this episode like we always do by making this EdTech easy. First, choose one of Natasha's favorites to try out, like Sway or Immersive Reader. Next, try adding this new tool or tip to your routine. Then, take time to reflect on how it fits into your workflow. Finally, share with a friend or colleague. Remember, you can find all of the resources from this episode on the show notes for this page, including all the info to follow along with Natasha's work. Just head to classtechtips.com/podcast, where you can find this episode and every episode of the Easy EdTech podcast. Thanks again for stopping by today's episode of the Easy EdTech podcast. Can I ask you for a big favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this, or tell a friend about the podcast, or post a link to this episode on your social media. By leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, just scroll to the bottom of the page and tap the Write a Review button to leave a sentence on why you like the podcast. It seems like kind of a silly thing, but it makes a big difference and makes it a lot easier for other people to find this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech podcast wherever you're listening.